Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. Throughout history, as far back as anybody can figure out, we human beings have always lived in a war, torn by war. We've always lived in a world torn by war. It's not just a modern phenomenon. It's always been there, and I think there are many reasons why people and their nations or their tribes and families are always going to war with each other. There's lots of reasons. One, of course, is they fear for their survival. Maybe they're running out of food, or maybe they're running out of water or fuel to keep warm. Or maybe there's ambition and greediness for wealth and for power. And then there's also the idea of honor or revenge. Why people go to war, and I think of the Trojan War, where one group wanted to get even with the other group. So in this war, so many reasons why human beings are always going to war. But I think when you dig down a little bit deeper past all those obvious reasons, we see that the main reason for war is our worldview. A worldview that discriminates. In other words, a worldview that sees things and people as separate and not as a single connected family. So wars will end someday when we see the world with a big mind. When we see our interconnectedness and our interdependence, or in other words, when we start emphasizing sharing and helping each other instead of having so much emphasis just taking care of our own personal desires. So, for this world to survive, we need to see beyond the appearance of things and beyond our apparent differences. The apparent differences between races and classes and countries. We need to see beyond those things and act accordingly. In other words, we need to see beyond the imagined separateness of people. We need to overcome the restrictions that result from the misunderstanding of who we are, of who we really are, so that we can understand our inherent freedom. And to know that what we are is more than we think we are. And that knowing is the basis of spiritual practice. It is the basis of our concern for others. And it is the start of our response to suffering. Our true nature insists that we don't separate ourselves from others. I have a feeling that this country, that this nation, is founded on spiritual values. I don't think I've found it written anywhere like that. In the Constitution or anywhere, that we are a spiritual country. I don't think it's written like that. It's not so clear. But I believe that the worldview of the founders of this country was a spiritual view, a large view. For example, the Declaration of Independence insists on the equality of all people. This is a very spiritual viewpoint. And it says it's a self-evident truth. Self-evident truth. Equality of people is a self-evident truth. And that means, that wording means that it is seen as universal, a self-evident truth. It's seen as universal. So, when we look at the Constitution, it's not just about the rules of our society. I believe it expresses, in an indirect way, the highest spiritual values. And so the founding principle of the United States is unity, the unity of all people. And that when it says life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, it doesn't mean it's just for the United States. That's not just for us, for those that were there at the time. These rights belong to everyone. And it's generally acknowledged that the United States was the first to establish this global vision that all men are created equal. Not just American men and women, all. So the U.S. vision, the vision of the United States in its early days, was not just about the oneness of the original colonies. The vision was of all it was for all people, the oneness of all people. So I'm a believer that the history of the United States is based on the spiritual principle of oneness. And in some way, just like enlightened Zen masters, you know, the founders recognized a world beyond appearances. Those rough guys of the 18th century. And I think that their vision included this country evolving in two ways. One is through physical labor and spiritual work occurring simultaneously. And I think their vision was that they dedicated their labor to building a country that would be guided by something greater than individual ideas. So we make a very big issue about how the Constitution separates church and state. That's very important to us. But the separation of church and state does not mean the U.S. was separated from spiritual values. Problems arise for communities when the spiritual vision is not expressed. That's when we have trouble. When the spiritual vision is not expressed, when the leaders forget what the vision is and has been, or the leaders subjugate that vision to their own personal goals. That's when problems arise in the world. I remember when earlier this year, my wife and I went on vacation. We went away, like most of you do. We went on a vacation, and it was like being in the playground. That's what we want our vacations to be, like being in the playground with no responsibilities, no work to take care of, don't have to think, don't have to solve problems, just have a good time. And it seemed to me the feeling was like being in a schoolyard at recess. You've seen the young children at recess in their schoolyard. It's nothing but laughter and excitement and running around and noise. And they have no concerns, none. Just playing spontaneously. Children are being spontaneous. That recess is a break from the work and the structure of the classroom. And when we were children, when we were kids on recess, we wished we could have permanent recess. Maybe now. Wish I could be on recess. Did you ever watch a school playground at recess? You look at it, you see, you can't imagine where all that energy comes from and how much fun they're having. But sometimes, a playground does develop a problem. Problem comes up when some of the children don't respect each other, when they become separate, when competition develops, when there are arguments, and when there are fights. So adults have to keep an eye on the playground. Adults have to watch the children. And when we were young, we wanted to stay in the playground. We didn't like to hear the bell that ended recess. We wanted to stay in that fun-filled world. But as adults, we have to leave it for a totally different arena of life that includes responsibility and it includes taking care. But it also includes spontaneity and friendship and the excitement of childhood. As adults, sometimes we have to return to the playground. But this time, as mature observers, to reconcile any differences that arise, and to promote unity and freedom and respect, and to teach responsibility. That's our job as adults. And there is a danger for us and for all of society when people try to remain in the playground in their adult years. There's a real problem that develops when people will do only what they want to do without restraint, without responsibility. If the people of a nation feel a need to go to war It should not be a playground activity, you know, for fun or casually. And if people of a nation feel they need to protest a war, it should not be a child's playground activity. Those kinds of decisions need to be mature decisions, and they need to be made for universal reasons that express the fundamental spiritual vision of the nation. In politics, it doesn't matter which side we are on or how we feel. We have to be careful of becoming a child in the playground, of forgetting what we are responsible for, and of pursuing our own personal interests, and of seeing the world as our own personal sandbox. In times of trouble and times of crisis, in deciding what we should do, we need to be adults. Mature. Enlightened. We need to stay out of the children's playground. Unless, of course, we need to take care of it. This is how we can do the spiritual work required of us. Our practice does not tell us which choice to make, which choices to make. Our practice only asks that we continue our practice so that we can see clearly with a mature mind, with the bodhisattva mind, so that we can express our freedom and encourage the freedom of others. So I think our practice, even though most people still see it as some foreign exercise, I believe our practice is a perfect fit with the principles of the United States. Our job is to bring our practice into action in the daily life of this country that has so much potential to be of benefit to all mankind. Does anyone have a question? Yes, Rich.
We're all equal. That's a funny phrase. It's not scientific. It's not provable or measurable or disprovable. It's just like an assertion that we're equal, and the basis of our equality is invisible. There's no way to test it, prove it or disprove it. So I guess I have like two thoughts or two questions. It's the same people who wrote those words didn't see that they apply to women or to blacks. They reserve that quality literally for men, like white landowning men. So that on the one hand, it's very progressive view, but the way it was implemented seemed very autocratic. I don't know how to reconcile the. Or maybe it's judging it from 240 years after is not fair somehow to apply our modern sensibility to that historic event. Do you care to comment on that further?
The ideal world always gets disturbed by politics. It's the example that you give is a good illustration about how difficult it can be to stick with our vision and our values because of other factors. And we all know how difficult it is to keep this practice 100%. Things come up, things change. We have to make compromises. We try to find a path or a way that's in everybody's best interest, or at least a way that benefits the most. We don't always get it right. That's a tough one. It's really hard. Promoting the highest principles and then compromising them. Oh, my goodness. What a dilemma. Feeling that we have to compromise our highest principles. That's real suffering, I think. And I think the only answer that I know of it, the only answer that I know is keep trying. Learn and keep trying.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.